So we'll start off with the Morinayim, the Hilige Morinayim, and the Morinayim will bring us into the other Sforum that we're going to get to tonight, Bezus Hashem. So, Zog the Hilige Morinayim, Zoyz Chukas HaTorah, a Chukah, he says, is a level of Torah, which is beyond Seichel Hanushi, beyond human comprehension. And Lamaisa, it's the Ma'or Sheba Torah. Chazal say, the famous Psicha Te Eicha Rabasi, state in Psicha Te Eicha Rabasi, that Halavai Oisi Azavu V'Torasi Shamaru Shama'or Sheba Marzir Lamutav. The Baruch Hashem says that, so to speak, Halavai Klaizo would abandon me, but they would still keep my Torah, because the licht of the Torah would bring them back. So he says that there's a licht of Torah, which is the essence of Torah, which is beyond our comprehension. And he says this is the Bechinas Ayin. Remember these words. This is the key words for tonight's Shir, and that is the Bechina of Ayin. And this Ayin, we have no Tvisa in Ayin. In other words, we know that Bria, the Bria is Yesh Me'ayin. Yesh Me'ayin. So everything we see and everything we comprehend is Yesh, is something, something from nothing. Ayin is nothing. It's really not nothing. It's really everything. There is Ayin, is the Ribbono Shel'olam, without the Tzimtzum, without the limitations and restrictions of Chomer, of matter, and of nature. So the Welt is Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. So Ayin appears to be nothing, but Chas V'Shalom, it's absolutely, it's not, it's only nothing in our Hasaga. In human terms, what was in the world, what was there before the Brias Olam, sounds like it was nothing to us. There's nothing that we can comprehend. That's what it means. But it was really everything. But we call it Ayin. And that, he says, is the Or HaTorah. The Torah was Nivra Kaidam Olam. The Torah is the Ribbono Shel Olam Alein. It's the essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, how he communicates with us. So a person, Tzorech HaLoymed L'Dabek B'Or HaNishba Mibichinus Ayin. When we learn, we want to be Dabek in this Licht, which comes from the Bechina of Ayin, not Yesh. And that will be Machzor personal Mutav, because that's the Pnimius HaTorah. That's the Pnimius HaTorah, which is by the Kisei HaKavod. In other words, the Shayish of the Torah comes from this Ayin, which is beyond our comprehension. And in other words, the Tachlis of learning is to realize that we understand nothing, and we are nothing. That the emes is that we don't exist, because only Ribbono Shel Olam exists. As of course, in when you think in human terms, this is totally confusing, and can get a person a bit of a sugar. And the Gemara says, on the one hand, that a person is not supposed to think about what the world was like, kaidem the bria. And the Gemara says in Chagiga, if you think about these things, it's not good. So we're not thinking about these things. We're not being philosophers, and we're not making hakiris over here. We're just saying the fact. The fact is that there's an ayin. And the ayin means, really, is everything. The ayin is ein soif. Ein soif. There's no end. There's no beginning. There's no end. It's malay chalaret kavayde. Hashem. Ayin is when there was nothing interfering with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And there was no tzimtzum. You and I are a tzimtzum, so to speak. As if to say, there's a, our neshamas are a chelik al-kami mal, a sliver of Hashem's ruchnias inside of us. But that, so to speak, again, in human terms, like limiting a little piece of Hashem. I mean, a piece of Hashem. Hashem is indivisible. Hashem cannot be divided. So we're not going to try to talk too philosophically, but we just know that there's a bechina of ayin, which is before the yesh. And that's the Or HaTorah. And that's the shirish of everything. And when the person learns Torah to be doving in that, we're mevatel ourselves to that. We surrender to that. So that is machzor a person lemutav. And he says, And we can just say the words, that's the bechin of Por Aduma. Por Aduma of Heidegger Parsha is the or of the Torah. And Aduma means that it's Lashon, red is shiny. Red catches the eye. Red is spectacular. Red is splendor. Red is majestic. It's a color that wakes you up. You pay attention to it. It's licht. Red is light, you might say. Right? Ultra red. So, the Por Aduma represents this Or HaGonus, this hidden licht of Torah. And this licht of Torah, the Baal Shem Tov said, that the Or HaGonus is a dying tomim. Shlo yigi eloi shum adam kiyim ma'at mizair. As it says, Torah is Hashem Tamima. Which means to say that, like the Baal Shem Tov says, as much as we learn Torah, we haven't even begun to learn. And in the Shayrish of Torah, in the source of Torah, it's still Tamima, meaning the Torah is perfect. It's untouched. The Torah is still virgin territory. We didn't begin to touch the Ma'or HaTorah, which is the Torah of Ayin before the Yesh. And that's the secrets of the Por Aduma. Asher Ein Bo Mum, Ayin. Again, there's no mum because it's ayin. Ein bo mum means in ayin there's no mum. In the oil of ayin there's no mum. No mum in the oil of ayin. He goes on and explains this, and that will be the introduction to the other svarim we're going to talk about tonight. So today, look at Rabbi Demarim says other things. I'll just mention one other nekuda he has over here. So again, we can spend the whole night on the Demarim Nayim, but I want to expand upon what he said in another svarim. But it's kedai. I want to mention him. He brings down again from the Baal Shem Tov. The Shmosa begins in Meroimim. He says, Yisoid, the Baal Shem says in many places, but it's Chosh the way he quotes it here. He says that a tzaddik gomor, who has no ra bekirboy, ain't roya shum ra al shum adam. It's not shy to see bad in anybody unless you have bad in yourself. Because every person you see, if I'm looking at Shlomo Green, he is a mirror of me. So if I see anything bad with you, you're a tzaddik tamim. If I see bad in you, it's only because there's bad in me. And you're my mirror. But a tzaddik tamim would not see anything bad. Ha'inyin hu k'maishu mistakel b'mara. Imponav mitunofim roya gam b'mara kach. My face is dirty. What I see in the mirror will be dirty. The mirror is an exact reflection of me. So to you, Michael, are my reflection. So you look great to me, so must be I have a very clean face. Because, but if I see a chasar in you, it's not about you, it's about me. It's the grace of your sight. And there's Baal Shem Tov says, he says, we said over at this Shabbos, Kola Negoyim Raya Adam, Pajr Shat in the Mishnah says in Negoyim, Call the Goyim Raya Adam, every person, a Kayan, can see any Negoyim. He can look at any Nega and Paskin on it, Chutz B'Negiyatzim, except his own. But the Baal Shem Tov, who holds that there's a Drash, even in Tarish Baal Peh, even in Mishnah, you can learn B'Derech Drush, says, you read like this, Call the Goyim Raya Adam Chutz. Every Nega, every flaw that a person sees outside, B'Negiyatzim, it's his own Negoyim. You're seeing yourself. Call on Goyim Roy Adam Chutz
when
Moshe Rabbeinu
spoke to Justin Miriam, he called him Russia.
Yeah. So how can Moshe see anything bad in Justin Miriam? How can Moshe see something wrong in Kairach? So the chilek is, evidently, is a very good question, Shlaima. L'maisa, obviously, a tzaddik is going to see a real Russia. So first of all, I would say that the Rebbeinu Shlomo only puts Rishayim in the path of a tzaddik if there's something wrong with the tzaddik. And if you're a tzaddik tamim, you will not come in contact with these Rishayim. Now, Kairach Lamashal, Chazal tell us Moshe was punished because he said to Kairach, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi, and that was wrong because he was telling Kairach, don't have so much ambition. When on the other hand, we always supposed to tell Yidden, have a lot of ambition. You want to shteig. You want to grow. You should have ein soif. You finish Shas once, finish it again. You know, a lot of people say, leave me alone, the Shalim Galerich, I can't learn so much. I'm a partial person, leave me alone. I'm fine. I learned one, two, Masechtos, the Rabin Shalim Galerich. I'm okay, leave me alone. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chazal say, was criticized for using the Lashon of Koyach, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. You have too much ambition. So that's why Davka, Hashem showed him Koyach, who had a lot of ambition, because it was a challenge for Moshe Rabbeinu and a test, and Taka, he, in a certain way, he did it in Aveira. So, Enichnami, Moshe only saw Koyach because he had something to learn from Koyach. And if you ever see a flaw by somebody else, it's really Hashem doing you a type, reminding you you have the same flaw. It's not Stam. It's a Zogta Baal Shem, that every person you see is a mirror. This means that every time you're looking at somebody else, you're not seeing their chesronos for their sake, you're seeing it for your sake. If you wouldn't have it, you wouldn't have the chesaron of some sort, you would never be shown the chesaron by the Rebbeinu. Things don't just happen. You don't meet people by chance. Even the Rishayim you meet in your life, and not by chance, Hashem sending a message to you. So there was a message that Moshe had learned from Koyach. He wasn't perfect yet. And Vayis doesn't read rules of what to, I don't have to figure it out. There's no question there was what Moshe had what to learn from Dasan Vaviram, and anything saw in Dasan Vaviram was a reflection of him. Yep.
The same degree, or could
not the same degree. It's like the Vashendra says that you'll see a Yid doing a Avodah Zarah. So how did Shaya, afraid the Vashendra, but I never did a Avodah Zarah. I guarantee you, I was never in the church. All that varies, yeah, but Avodah Zarah, no. That already said, that's a little too much. I was never over the Zohar. I never was a church, and I was a mosque. I'm not interested. I have plenty of other taivas, but not that one. Not that one. I have no taiva for Yashka. No, it doesn't interest me at all. So how come I saw a Yid going into church? The Baal Shanda says, the only thing you see by somebody else, it's a reflection of me. Zog the Helig Baal Shanda, because there's a lot of things Chazal say, are ki ilo over the Zohar. Kolakoyes, if a person gets angry and breaks things in his anger, a shayver kalim, that's also like avodah zara, or a person mechal Shabbos is like avodah zara. So in the Chalam, I never went to a church, but maybe I was not so careful with Shabbos. That's true, and I was not, and I certainly got angry. Maybe I broke some of my anger, and you know, maybe I never broke anything. If I broke a person with my anger, I broke the kid, I broke my children with my anger. I call shayver kalim bechamosai. I didn't break. I never broke a plate in my anger. Yes, you broke a person in your anger. So that's also Avodah Zarah. There's many things that are like Avodah Zarah. So that's why I saw Taka Mamash Avodah Zarah to shake me up and to get me to start thinking about what similarities to Avodah Zarah are there in me. But that's the Yisrael of the Baal Shem Tov. And whenever you see, that's the Yisrael, that was the Yisrael by Bilam, that the Yisrael Moshe says, that Bilam, not Bilam, Koyrach only had one eye. Raji says, Koyrach Einoi Hitasa, his eye misled him. Why did his eyes let him? Because he only had one eye. He was supposed to have two eyes. Welcome on Shabbos. Every person was to have two eyes. One eye to see Raimus Hashem, and one eye to see Shiflus Adam. Koyach only saw the Raimus, the big things. He was a nice Yara, and he saw a big Zach, and he saw a big Zach in himself. But the second eye we have two eyes. The second eye is to see our own Shiflus. And Koyach didn't use his eye for that. Because what does that mean? Anytime you see a flaw in somebody else, it's just, you're supposed to entirely forget about that person and think about yourself. What? That's just a reminder that I have the same chesaron. So if I look at you and I think you're stingy, and I'm supposed to forget about the fact that you're stingy. But the rabbi say, I must be stingy. If I look at you and I think that you're arrogant, I immediately forget about you being arrogant. It's a reminder that I'm arrogant. I don't even see you anymore. I don't see you. I'm supposed to look at my own chesaronness. That's it. If you would do that, we'd be gewaltic. That all of our tzaras would go away. All of our problems are because we look at other people's chesroinus, and we don't look at our own. But that the hepech gomer. The minute you see a chesron by somebody else, that's what to criticize them, so to bring it back to me. That's me. That's my mirror. Mirroring. That's what it's all about. Gewaltige Yisoids. Ah. So that's the of us. But now let's continue more on the subject. We started now in the subject of ayin. So the Moran Ayin has introduced us to a concept of Ayin, a thing called Ayin, which is the world before Yesh. So the Chiddush of the Moran Ayin is, this is what I want to impress upon you, is that even though the world is created Yesh Me Ayin, there still is a world of Ayin. Don't think that once there's creation, that there's yesh me'ayin, something or nothing, that therefore we have no contact with the world of ayin. We should.
We haven't run out of nothing.
That's right. And fakert, it's good to break out of something to go back to nothing. Because that the nothing is where everything really is. That's the source of everything. And when we break out of yesh and we go to ayin, this is not just words. This is a very real tactic for growth and for power. So you want to really have power, you break out of the yesh and you ignore the yesh. And the yesh tells you you have no money in the bank. The yesh tells you that your house is in foreclosure. And the yesh tells you that there's all kinds of people who are threatening you. But I'm not spoiled from the yesh, the world of reality, what I see in front of my eyes. I'm going to the world of ayin. There's a source of everything, and that source, that's where the power comes from. That's where all the shefa comes from. I'm Dovik Bashem. Ein oid mulvadoi. There's nothing but the Rabbi Shalom. And the Hele Kedush, the Kedush's Levi actually is marach on this and says, this is the pshat that the Gemara says, ein mazl Yisrael. First pshat means there's no mazl Yisrael. So Kedush Levi, no, it means ein ayin mazl Yisrael. The mazl of Klai Yisrael, where everything comes from, is from ayin. If we're Dovik in the Olam of ayin, then we have everything. And Kedush Levi speaks about this in many, many, many places. About ayin. Ayin, it's all about ayin. There's a pasuk in Eov that says, achokma may ayin timatze. Wisdom comes from ayin. Real, there's no chokma in this world. Everything in the world is not chokma because the world is narishkeit. This whole world is an illusion. The yesh, it doesn't exist. Nothing really exists. It's only hands of the Rabbi Shalom. This is just coverings over the Rabbi Shalom. This is all kisuyim. Everything in the world is just a facade. It's all Hashem. You don't exist, Ben. It's Hashem. You ain't no mavadoi. Less asar panumine. There's no place empty of Hashem. You're full of Hashem. You're just an apparition. You're a fantasy. You're a figment of my imagination. And I'm a figment of my own imagination. This is all olam hahevel, olam hadimyon. Really. Yesh is not real. The reality is ayin. Ayin is everything. So the Kedush Levi speaks about this in many dozens of places in the Kedush Levi. As we mentioned at the beginning of Bereshis, he speaks about it, about this concept of ayin. And he says right here in Mamish, the beginning of Bereshis, Mamish, the first words of the Kedush Levi, that Kshishu'od Mistako Batzmai, Vein Mistako Ba'ayin, Azu Madregas Yesh. And then, he's nothing. If you look at yourself as being real, then you talk, you're not mamish nothing. If you're yesh, you talk ayin. But a person who knows that he's nothing, and knows it all, ain't al mavada, he's nothing but the Rabbanu Shalom, then the Hashem deals with him, l'mala b'derech ha-teva. And that's what you do, less ishtadlus, less effort, you're not so impressed by your clients, by your customers, by your checkbook, by anything. Nothing impresses you. Only the Rabbanu Shalom. Then you come to a different hanhaga. Then you go to the hanhaga of Nister, not Nigla. The world of Yesh is Nigla. The world of Yesh is Chitzonius. The world of Ayin is total Pnimius. And he goes on and on. He speaks in so many places about Ayin. And right here in Osam Bracious, he's a person, Sar Ladabik Asma, but Ayin. And that's the Madrega of beyond Tzimtzum. There's no tzimtzum. And the minute the person is madavik and ayin, it's like he's recreated. And now there's a new shefa, chadasha, comes to him, and he is unlimited. He has unlimited power. When you're davik and ayin, nothing with the Rabbi Shalom, ein ha-mavadai, you have new powers, because everything comes from ayin. It was yesh mei ayin. So ayin is the source of everything. So if you believe that everything is ayin, you're davik and where the everything, then things in the world of Yesh, new things will come to you. It's like Hashem will recreate your world for you. Sounds like words, but it's real. May ayin timatze. It's a mer de gezach. And therefore he says, by the way, Derech Haga says the Kedushas Levi, that every day a baskel comes out in the Shemayim and tells us, says in the Gemara, that the baskel comes out of Shemayim every day, says, Shuvu banim shavav and do tshuva. We're always getting baskels. We're always getting, I had to tell you, a wonderful baskel to do a new mitzvah. Minim Baruch Abba, during davening, I had this feeling to do a new mitzvah, which I never thought I was worthy of doing. And today, in the Shemayim, I got the baskel, I immediately did the mitzvah, and I'm taking steps to continue doing this mitzvah every day, although I was toying with the idea for a long time, but somehow I never quite heard the Basco. And today I heard it, and I immediately acted on it, and I did it, and mitzvah Hashem, I hope to do it forever. But you have to grab it right away, says the Kedushas Levi. Every day there's a Basco coming out, there's a Cyrus, but just for 1 minute. And then it subsides. It subsides. So the minute you hear the Cyrus, you have to grab it, you have to cling to it, you have to try to do the mitzvah right away, either it's learning, or it's tzedakah, he says, or anything else, and then you'll be davek in the source. But don't let it go. A lot of times we have a Cyrus to do something and we just let it drop. A lot of times someone comes over for a mitzvah, I'm only telling you the personal things, if someone came over to me for a loan. They didn't come over for a loan. Someone I saw was mamish, drowning in debt. Good person, a responsible person. They were drowning in credit card debt. They were drowning and drowning and drowning. And they were paying every month thousands of dollars just in interest. And I had to somehow take responsibility to get them a loan to pay off a huge amount of credit card debt. And I suggested it to them. I had this service. They told me about what was going on. I trust them implicitly. I know it's for real. They're good people. But whatever, I know the reason why they got into this debt due to various major problems in their life. And I said to them that I would arrange a major loan for them to pay it off. And then after I did it, I said, uh-oh, what did I get myself into over here? I'm going to have my head examined. I mean, the mice is dangerous. There's a lot of money. I'm taking responsibility for this money. I have to have my head examined. So right away, mom, 5 minutes later, I regretted it. Right away, I regretted it. Someone knows how these things work with me, you know. And I avoided this person for a while. I was hoping maybe forget, you know. And he didn't bother me, you know. He knew that it was a big, but then my conscience kept on bothering me, like, you know, it's a lot of money and it's a big responsibility, but it's just the right thing to do. And the boss who came in Shemayim said, I got to do it. But I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. It's too much responsibility. A lot of money. So I was back and forth. It was a couple of weeks passed by till I got whatever. I thought I need more information for them. I need more. And finally, I just bit the bullet. I did it. The point is, you got to do it. Because otherwise, the mitzvah runs away from you. Now that I did it, I feel good about it. Now I'm not even scared anymore that we're going to get stuck with this huge bill. But you got to do it. Until you do it, you're nervous. So, Davey, you hear a Basco to do a mitzvah. You got to jump on it because the Basco will subside unless you act it right away. You open your mouth up, you make a commitment to somebody, it's going to disappear. You got to grab it because it's coming from the island of Ayin. It's coming from a different world, the world of Ayin. The Kedushas Levi speaks out this time and time again about the Madrega of Ayin. This is Madrega, the Avos. The Avos we're dealing with, the Ayin. He speaks about all over the Sefer. This concept of Ayin. What? Because I know that's exactly. Look, I know I could do this mitzvah. It's a little risky. I don't do it for everybody. I know this person is again an honest person, and I know that they will do their best to pay it back. And I know that it's how much it's pikuach nefesh. If I don't do this, they could lose everything and they could drown in debt. And since it came to my attention, I don't know everything that goes on in the world, you know, but something that comes to my attention, that means that probably is the message is to me. And then I got a certain message also from my bank that sort of like was a remez, I better do this. And it's like clear message. I got a message from the bank that called me up. All right, for you have an account over here that is dormant. You haven't done anything with this in a while. And you know, the rule is, if you don't use anything in your account for a while, the government is going to confiscate all your money. He said, what? Never heard of that. Yeah, if you don't use your account for a while, a couple of years, the government just comes and takes all your money away. What? Yep. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I said, uh-oh, that's Hashem telling me something. Hashem is saying, listen, if you have money, you don't use it, it's going to be taken away from you. So you got to use your money. So money's not meant to just sit around. You gotta use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Well, Yetzer, yeah, I'm saying. So that message made it very clear to me that I better make sure that this person gets the money and take responsibility. Because either you use what you have, your abilities, or your money, or your connections, or you lose it all. So the Baskel comes from the Olam of Ayin. In the world of Yesh, it doesn't make sense to do this mitzvah. But the world of Ayin, it makes a lot of sense. You gotta just do it. This is the refrain of the Kedushas Levi. Yod Nun. The Kedushas Levi actually says, ooh, he says, the Gevaltige Zach. Let me see if I can, I hope I didn't lose this. He says here in Parshas Shkolim, he says, the Aleph, he says, the reason why the letters are Ayin, he says, he has a Merdig of Vort over here, and what Ayin is all about. Ayin is with an Aleph. Ayin means nothing. Ayin means nothing. He explains, it's with an Aleph. He explains it like this. He says, Ayin, you have the letter Aleph. Aleph many times is not pronounced. Like in Bracious. The word Bracious. Brace, Rache, Aleph, Shin. You don't hear the Aleph. Because you could sell Bracious without an Aleph. You don't need an Aleph or Bracious. You could have a Tzeri underneath the Rache and you have Bracious. So Ayin is Aleph because Aleph means it's not there. Many times the Aleph is not pronounced. Then you have the Yud. The Yud is the smallest letter. So the two letters of Ayin represent letters that sort of disappear. The Aleph disappears because in many places it's not pronounced. The Yud is the smallest of all letters. So that those represent the world that in our eyes is very small and insignificant, and it's almost like it doesn't get pronounced, it gets lost. It's the lost world. That's what the Jewish lady says here in Pirates of Kisisa. Like it's not here. Meredigazachim. Okay. Now, in Heidegger Parsha, and we'll conclude with this, gentlemen, we have a Yesoid from the Oyev Yisrael, the Apter Rav. The Apter Rav speaks about the story about Mei Meriva. What is going on in Mei Meriva? In Mei Meriva, it says that the water came out of the rock. Since when does water come out of a rock? And Hashem said to Moshe, speak to the rock, and the rock will give out the water inside of it. Since when does the rock have water inside of it? Where does it come to such a thing? That there's water in the rock. It says, Vaytseis the mayim in a sela. Where do you have mayim in a sela? So he says, Gevaltik, a very deep yisod, that really, everything in the world is dal yisodis. The Rambam speaks about it. The Rambam Yisodei HaTorah says, everything in the world is comprised of four basic elements, four basic substances. Arma, Aleph, Resh, Mem, Ayin. Aleph is Aether, dirt, dust, or Adama. Resh is Ruach, wind. Mem is Mayim. And Ayin is what? Arma is Ofer. I'm sorry. It's Eish. I'm sorry. Aleph is Eish. Aleph is Eish. And Resh is Ruach. And Mem is Mayim. And Ayin is Ofer. Ayin is Ofer, which is dirt. Which is earth. Earth. Everything has a little bit of everything, but like a piece of earth, the predominant is the Ofer. And the Eish in it, the fire, which is energy. And the Ruach is very little. And the Mayim, there's a little Mayim in Ofer. So everything is a conglomerate of everything. So the sun is all fire. But there's Ruach there also. And there's Mayim in the sun. And there's Ofer there also. There's substance. There's like dirt or earth. So everything is combined of all four. The only thing is that in this world, they're inseparable. Again, if you have a rock, the rock has fire in it, but you're not, if you scratch two rocks together, you'll get fire. But it's very hard to get the fire out of the rock. It's certainly very hard to get the mayim out of the rock. And you can't get the ruach out of a rock, the air out of the rock, but there's a lot of air inside of a rock. You know, that a rock is made up of atoms, and every atom 99% of the atom is emptiness. 99% of the world is empty. This is really in quantum physics. That's what it's all about, is that really, in the emptiness, the world is mostly empty. Because every atom is mostly empty. You have the mesons and the neutrons and the protons and electrons, all of the stuff floating around, but it's all around an empty core. There's a nucleus, but again, it's empty in the middle. So most of the world is empty. Michal, most of you is empty. You still waste a lot. You take up space, but you're really empty. Seriously, meet everybody. It's a very fascinating concept. See, even the world of Yesh is mostly ayin. And when you get to the world of ayin, then all these yesodes become separate. A person, again, to you and me, a rock is a rock. And there's four elements inside it, but the four elements are inseparable. That's only because we're living in the world of Yesh. In the world of Yesh, it's all stuck together. In the world of ayin, if you lived in ayin, where it all comes from, you could separate these four with ease. And he says, the Malach Michoel is in charge of water, for instance. Gavriel is in charge of fire. Now in this world, fire and water don't get along together. Fire and water are, either the fire is going to dry up the water, or the water is going to extinguish the fire. But in Shemayim, Chazal say, Oseh Shalom B'Raimov, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. Shemayim, Rashi brings it down, Chumash. That in Shemayim, there's fire and water get along very well. Shemayim is Eshumayim. Eshumayim. In heaven, fire and water get along, because it's out of this world. In this world, fire and water don't get along.
Hashem Oseh Shalom. Hashem makes them.
Right. Exactly, because that's the world of Ayin, up there. That's where Hashem is with Meluai. It's God without limits. In this world, the limitation, so there's a boundary. Fire can only go to water, and water can only go to fire. And never the twain shall meet. Fire and water cannot coexist, because this is the world of Yesh, with its boundaries. But in Shamayim, it's Eshumayim, because there is the world of the Baruch, it's the world of Ayin. It's the world without symptoms, it's the world without limitations. So fire and water get along, the Shalom. So, when a person comes to the world of Shalom, if you're living in the world of Shalom, if you're living in the world of Ayin, then there's no problem. Fire and water get along. So what Hashem said to Moshe was, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're so great. I want them to know that there's human beings living on this earth who are so great that they live in the world of Shalom. They're living in heaven. They're living in heaven on earth. And by you can just speak to the rock and bring out the water from the rock. There is water in the rock. Just in this world, the rock and the water are inseparable. You can't separate them. You can't have, they don't, they're not, you can't extract it. But if you'd be living in a higher world where the source of it all comes from, I want you to show them, Moshe, that you're living in heaven, on earth, and that in heaven, which is the source of the fire and the source of the water, you could identify the fire separately and the water separately and the rock separately and the ruach separately by talking with your ruach. You'll extract the fire and the water from it, mainly the water. And he points out, Mayim and Asela is a fascinating thing. Sela, a rock, how do you spell it? Samach? Lamed Ayin. Now, a Samach is spelled what? Samach Mem Chof. What's the middle letter of Samach? A Mem. A Lamed, what's the middle letter of Lamed? Lamed Mem Dalet? Mem. An Ayin is spelled Ayin Yud. What's the middle letter of Ayin? Yud. So what do you get? Mem, Yud, Mayim. So in the cellar there's Mayim. In the cellar there's Mayim. It means to say that Tzaddik, who lives according to the Shirish of the Torah, which is the letters of the Torah, which is something more Nayim spoke speaks every week, that the Shirish of everything is the letters of the Torah. So we're living in the world of Yesh, where we see the manifestation of the letters. I see lights, I see a clock, I see plaster, I see tablecloths, I see plastic, I see tape recorders, I see chairs, I see cloth, I see flesh, I see eyes, I see beards, but that's all in the world of Yesh. But behind your flesh, Shlomo, is really a shin, and a lamed, and a mem, and a hey. There's no Shlomo, there's no body of Shlomo, there's no eyes. There's Shlomo, the letters. I can look inside of you, and I see that your sherish is your letters. Seriously. Shlomo ben...
Leib Hirsch,
that's it, I should know that by now. Shlomo ben Leib Hirsch. We should know that there's no shirt here. There's no flesh. There's no beard. There's the letters of Shlomo, Shin, Lam, and Mem, Ben, Leib, Hirsch. And the letters are separate entities. So Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem is saying to Moshe, talk to the seller. In a seller, you have Mayim. The letters of Mayim are there. In Samach Lamed Ayin, you have in the middle. In the middle of those three letters, you have Mayim. And in the Olam of Ayin, every letter is separate, and you can extract it, just like you extract the water. That's how you extract the water. You extract the water by going to the Shoresh of the water, which is the letters. So if you're in the Olam of Yesh, you can't do that. But if you're in the Olam of Ayin, where it all comes from, it's Koyach HaNelam, and the Koyach HaNelam, just like it's in Samach Lamed Ayin, this is the hidden way of spelling it. So in the Olam HaNelam, the Pnimius, the word of Pnimius, it's in the middle, the Pnimius of the Sela, you'll be able to extract the Mayim. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he explains Moshe Rabbeinu was holding by that, and Moshe Rabbeinu felt that, yes, I am holding by that, but the Jewish people aren't. And therefore it's necessary, he says, I cannot do that. Hashem said you could, and you should. And Moshe here didn't follow the instructions of Hashem. I'm saying it in a very simple, simplistic way. I'm trying to make it very, very simple. He says it much deeper. But he says, Moshe Rabbeinu did not think that the people were holding at that level. And therefore it says, Vayakilu Moshe Varen, there's a call, El Pnei Sela. They took them to the face of the Sela, the outside of the Sela. They didn't believe that people could appreciate the inside of the Sela, this Chiddush, that you can break open the Pnimius of the Sela and go to the letters of the Sela. They gathered the people around the Pnei Sela, the way it looks on the outside, the face of the Sela, not the Pnimius, but the Panim, which is the face on the outside. And therefore Moshe felt necessary to hit the Sela on the outside rather than to talk to it, and therefore be medabik his words with the Olam of Ayin, which is the source of everything, and that was the mistake. Again, it's much deeper than I'm telling you, but this is just the outline. So the outline again brings us back to the concept of Ayin, and so we see of all this form we've been learning tonight from our Heilige masters that everything brings us back to this concept of the power of Ayin. So this is what we are learning here tonight. I'm just, there's one more little Kedushas Levi shtickle. I'll try to find it. And he says in a few places that Ayin is, that's what Ayin's all about. He says someplace, I don't remember where it is right now. He says that he speaks about the Aleph, I told you, is Ayin because you don't hear it. The Yud is small. The Nun, he speaks about the Nun. The Nun is actually part of a Tzadi. A Tzadi is like a little Yud attached to a Nun that's Kafaf. A Nun is bent over. He speaks about how the Nun represents the Tzadik. A Tzadik is living in two worlds. He's living in the world of Yud, which is the Olam of Ayin. And he's also in this world, therefore he's a Nun Kafufa. He's a bent over Nun. You ever see a tzaddik that's written, Ksav Ashuris, has a Yud on the right side. And according to Rizal, the Yud is a backwards Yud. According to Beis Yosef, it's a forwards Yud. And then the other part, the trunk of the tzaddik, is a Nun. It's a bent over Nun. Think about that. It's a bent over Nun.
It's a regular Nun, not an
Nun. It's a regular Nun as bent over. And this somehow fits into also the idea of the Ayin. That's the Aleph, the Yud, and the Nun. There are many Ramazim in this. There's very deep Ramazim in what all this means. Okay, gentlemen, we'll stop over here, and we'll see you in Hashem next week. Have a good Shabbos, and remember to be Dovek. If you want to get anything in life, don't look at the Yesh, look at the Ayin.